You're with Clement Magnatella on 702.
Live, streaming countrywide.
On the Prime Media Plus app.
Yes TV channel 856.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Minutes after 9 o'clock, Dumelang. Welcome to the holiday edition of the Clement Magnatella Show on this 21st of March, Human Rights Day. It's good to have you with us here on 702. I hope you're having a great Thursday so far. I hope you're having a wonderful holiday, whether you are on your way to work, maybe you're at work already, like some of us. Maybe you're resting at home or working from home. Maybe you're on your way to run errands. Maybe you're heading to an event. Wherever you find yourself listening to us from this morning, I hope it's going to be a great day for you. Here's a question. As we commemorate Human Rights Day, 30 years into our democracy, which constitutionally guaranteed human rights in Chapter 2 of the Constitution do you take for granted? I was going through the Bill of Rights this morning and I realized how sometimes we really take for granted some of the rights we enjoy. I think we do. These are rights that many countries, many communities don't enjoy. And don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting here that everything is perfect, that it's all hunky-dory. I mean, we celebrate Human Rights Day today in difficult times. I'm aware that the living conditions and the provision of basic services have seriously deteriorated for years with a daily impact on the lives of South Africans. I know that there are citizens of this country that still have challenges in accessing adequate healthcare. All of us are struggling with electricity, some worse than others. Food, housing, access to clean water. There are people who complain about low salaries that make it impossible for them to meet their basic needs. I'm aware that there are rights that have been violated by government, which is sad. Because when you protect human rights, you actually support constitutional democracy. When you violate those rights, you defy and go against this constitutional democracy. But having said all that, we have rights that we enjoy that I think sometimes we take for granted. And you realize this sometimes when you are traveling. So, which rights are those for you? Why don't you give me a call on 011-883-0702 or send me a WhatsApp voice note on 072-702-1702. Which rights do you think you've taken for granted, that you've become so accustomed to, as you should, and you forget that it's actually not the status quo in other parts of the world? Maybe it's the right to have an abortion. Maybe it's the same-sex marriages. Maybe it's the freedom of religion. I mean, if I take you through some of the rights that are in the Constitution, some we take for the right to equality. You cannot be discriminated against on the grounds of race, of gender, of sex, of pregnancy, of marital status, of ethnic and social origin, of color, of sexual orientation, of age, of disability, of religion, of conscience, of belief, of culture, of language, of birth. You have a right to human dignity. You have a right to privacy. Which rights do you think we take for granted? Freedom of religion. Now, that's one that I think sometimes we don't appreciate enough. Like, leave this country and go to those countries where religion is prescribed. It's not a secular state like ours. We have freedom of religion and belief and opinion. Everyone has a right to freedom of conscience, freedom of thought, of opinion. Imagine the things I say every day on this show. If I wasn't living in, if I lived in Russia, where would I be? If I lived in China, if I lived in, I don't know, the DRC, Uganda, you have a right to your own belief, freedom of conscience, freedom of expression. You can associate with anyone. You have a right to freedom of association, political right. You have a right. I mean, labor relations, you have a right to fair labor practices. What do you think happens in other countries? What happens in China? What happens in Qatar? Remember there were stories in Qatar, was it during the World Cup, when there were stories of unfair labor practices? Who decides what is fair or not fair labor practices? I'm just saying, I think we enjoy freedoms in this country that sometimes we take for granted. Which are those for you? One, what are those freedoms you take for granted? Two, are there freedoms that you appreciate more being a South African? And which ones do you think as a community with government we need to ensure we realize, because they are good on paper, but that's not necessarily a reality on the ground? 011-883-0702. That's how we kick off the 702 open line. The WhatsApp line is 072-702-1702.
30 years later, let's remember that every voice matters. That's our basic human right. Celebrate Human Rights Day and let's walk the talk on 702.
Let's go straight to the lines. Moodley, you're calling us from Linasia. Good morning.
Clement, how nice to talk to you.
Great to chat to you, man. Happy Human Rights Day.
Yeah, and the same to you. I was just telling your producer there during apartheid, you know, no matter how qualified you were, you are just a third grade citizen, you know, in the workplace. I'm so glad I'm now really retired. And, you know, for people like you, where, you know, you've been through your paces, and the difficulties of qualifying, and then you were given a fair chance to apply for the job, then you were given the job. You know, we never had that. We had to put the junior managers, unqualified junior managers, that earned more than you. And I'm happy we have this day. And I recall this day way back. You know, I'd been reading newspapers since I was a little child, you know. And this was a sad day in South Africa. And I hope it goes well for everybody. And I hope they saw whatever they learn, put it into practice. And thank you very much indeed.
Oh, Modli, thank you. You know, I really appreciate hearing from people that have been here longer than some of us, because, I mean, I was born in 1990. I was born when democracy was just about to take shape. So there are people who lived during apartheid who actually, I feel, appreciate more some of these rights that we enjoy today. So that's why I always love reflecting with struggle stalwarts, freedom fighters, right? Who tell you how different things were at the time. And today, they're enjoying things that was a dream for them during that ruthless regime, apartheid years. So we need to learn to be appreciative, guys. And we can walk and chew at the same time. Yes, we can complain and raise concerns about some rights that are being violated, but let's also appreciate that at some point you couldn't sit on the same bench with someone who was of a different color to you. How crazy is that? Today we can live next to each other. We can sit next to each other. We can work together. We can have relationships together. And I'm saying this should be an opportunity for us to also reflect and appreciate some of these rights that sometimes we take for granted. Nare, you're calling from Blegori. Good morning.
Yes, hi Clement, how's it?
Hey, Tara.
I'm okay. Listen, you know, I think we should be a beacon of Africa, you know, with of the continent, you know, they are not having, you know. It's a pity that we should actually export. You understand the way how we do things, having the due processes, having the NGOs as well that can have even that power to challenge the government. You understand? Mm. And this thing is missing in Africa. You understand what I'm saying? I wish if Africa and African countries, they were doing things like the way we're doing, we wouldn't even have millions of people even coming here. You understand what I'm saying? So it's the lack of democracy in Africa. In Africa, there's no democracy. That's why Africa is just a bad, space. You understand what I'm saying? So if this thing we're having here, I think we should celebrate and makes us proud. You understand what I'm saying? This great thing ever to happen to humanity. I wish we can export it as well to Africa, you know.
Yeah. Nare, I understand what you say. Thank you so much for calling us, brother.
All right.
Sharp, sharp. Cool. Thank you so much, Nare and Blegori. Boy Dumelo, you're calling us from West Dean. Good morning.
Good morning, Clem.
Hey, Tara.
For me, Clem, I think, you know, some of these things we take for granted. I mean, just a freedom of movement. Growing up, or when I started coming to Joburg, my mother being a domestic worker in Himarangia, coming from North, you had to have a passport. I was arrested twice at the bus stop because I didn't have a passport to visit my mother.
And a passport to visit your own mother in your own land.
Exactly. And wow. I didn't have a passport coming from Rustenburg. And then you go to Park Station. This is likely time to get to Krugersdorp and go to Park Station. I went to downstairs where the first class was, and I was told, no, this is only for whites. Let's go to the third class. And we take that for granted.
Yeah, we do. I mean, yeah,
we come from far.
But Dumelo, I mean, it's crazy that you're going to visit your mom in your own ancestral land. Must go around with some passport of sorts. And we take that for granted because we think, especially I feel, and not all of us, but some of the young ones are thinking, oh, this is how things have always been. No. Like, there are people who actually fought, people who died for you and I to enjoy the kind of rights that we enjoy today. And when we show some appreciation and acknowledge the gains that have been made, I think that appreciates their spirits, those that are not even here anymore, for what they've been able to do for you and I to not have even experienced for a day. The difficulties that were imposed by the apartheid regime. Hassan in Johannesburg, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I think the right to dignity is often taken for granted. I mean, I remember growing up where we were in segregated apartheid, racialized schools, ghettos, you know, and I think that those kind of things are not seen now. But it's also a kind of short-termism because a lot of people are on social media. They just want immediacy. They don't have a long trajectory. Of course, some of the rights that we obtained were not just constitutional. They were made possible by mass organizations. The trade unions were powerful. I worked in the union movement, and I think today it's a sad sight that they're not as strong as they were to push for the big issues that we need, like quality public health. I mean, you find the wealthier in our communities diss the NHI because they have private medicine. You know, there's a lack of compassion. And I think people just simply talk about this efficiencies to do certain things without realizing that, you know, we've come a long, long way, but I think we had too many missed opportunities. And I think this is my lamentation, especially the kind of privatized power. You know, power is privatized, and people spend half their time attacking government power. The corporations and others have amassed so much wealth that I don't think that they're distributing enough, ensuring that there's a patriotic end up for any of the poorer communities. It's all, you know, it's just 300 years of colonialism and apartheid really is it is a long, long road to go, you know. But
it
I
is.
Think our governments have missed too many opportunities as well.
That's true. That's true. We would be so far, Hassan. I agree with you there. Thank you so much for calling us, Hassan, calling us there from Johannesburg.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Good morning. I am so grateful for the freedom of religion. I am so grateful that I can attend church and read the Bible and pray in freedom and not have to hide and not have to fear for my life for believing in Christ. I'm really grateful for, freedom of religion. Happy Human Rights Day. Morning, Clement. You know what? Since moving to Switzerland, so I'm an expat, I was just shocked, and maybe this is not the experience of every expat, but I was just shocked, like, you know, things like when you use the bus or public transport, right? I tend to be, you know, the one where they always check, let's say, you know, do you have your bus tickets versus other people in the bus? You know, I remember I had a train ride that I had booked to a ski resort, and I booked the first class ticket. On the way back, you know, there's that guy that checks, okay, does everyone have their tickets? You know, should you be there? And he literally asked me, sorry, can I please see ID? But I don't see anybody else being asked for the same. So these are the things that, you know, I think we take for granted, you know, even though it's not like enshrined in law, like, you know, you must check, you know, the papers of anyone that's a migrant worker or anything like that. But you can't help but feel that imposed on you. You know, based on your disposition. Thanks, Clement. But yeah, those are the things I'm about home.
Yeah, that's incredible. And please, if you're listening to us from maybe you're an expat yourself, you live in another country. I know there are people who listen to us from Berlin. There are people in the UK. There are people in Abu Dhabi. There are people in Qatar. There are people in Dubai. There are people in Nigeria. Where are you, right? Wherever you're listening to us from, what are you picking up, right? That sort of is a culture shock to you, because ordinarily these are the things that are normal in South Africa, but not so much in another country. Just please share those experiences with us. Winnie, you are in Tembisa. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You know, the most important right is a right to life.
Mm.
Now, a lot of us are not taking it for granted. But if you think about the people like Izingari, who are being bought to kill people, you know, I tend to ask myself, you know, what kind of mentality is that? Because sometimes we find you have a very good opinion and you want to be involved in politics and, you know, transformation. But now if you are at the bottom level, you don't have bodyguards who will take care of you when you have voiced up your opinion, as opposed to those people who are up there. They have bodyguards, they have all the securities in their lives. So it becomes very difficult to be a opinionated. So your right to your opinion is completely taken for granted. So, yeah, the right to life is so important. I mean, South Africans, those boys, they give them, you know, if you listen to the interviews, they give them 40 grand to kill someone. For me, you know, it's the biggest right that you can have. Otherwise, if you don't have life, how are you going to exercise all the other lives?
Any other one.
Right,
yes.
You know?
Yes. Oh, Winnie in Tembisa, thank you so much for calling us. It's going up to 9:30. It's 15 minutes before 10.
This Human Rights Day, you have the right to walk the talk on 702.
It's 25 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Hey, Clement, I come from the era whereby traveling back home to Venda, I don't even know why I call it back home. Traveling to Venda, when you arrived at, I think it was Petersburg or Luitrichat, if I'm not wrong, there was a place where you had to pay tax to, remember it was the TBVC. So when you go to Venda, it's another country, you've got to register for taxes, pay your taxes, and you've got to have an ID for Venda. Imagine, I come from Joburg. It's a 6-hour trip, but I need to have some kind of a passport. So I truly, truly am happy today that that is a foregone thing. Mugundi from Mondia.
Yeah, I mean, imagine. Sure. Olisa Saslem, and the voting right that people are taking for granted, it's actually quite painful. That's a message there. Another one, Saslem, and the most important thing to think is about duty as opposed to the current situation where we think about the rights only. Every right has concomitant duty or duties attached to it or them. So without addressing our attitude to duty or duties, then we are going nowhere. 24 minutes now before 10 o'clock.
Your voice,
your station,
your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
All right, keep your reflections coming on Human Rights Day, the rights that you think we take for granted and why you think that is the reason. But also, are there specific rights that you are appreciating more? Because you have seen how when you have traveled around the world, perhaps that's not a right that you would ordinarily enjoy because things are done differently. Not every country is a constitutional democracy. So what have you picked up? What rights do you think we take for granted? I mean, freedom of religion for me, that's so important. You know, living in a secular state where you can be Muslim, you can practice the Islam faith, you can practice Christianity, whatever religion you want to practice. And there's some level of tolerance. In fact, let me say acceptance, because that's where we need to move to. I'm not really a big fan of tolerance when it comes to what people believe in or who people are, because tolerance has limits. So we must talk about acceptance, accepting that people can practice a religion that is differently from yours. People can have an opinion that is different from yours. People can have a life or a sexual orientation that is different from yours. And those are the rights sometimes I feel we really take for granted. Now, I'll continue with your calls, your WhatsApps as well as we reflect on Human Rights Day. I also want your reflections on this Marcus Uoster story. Now, the country's financial sector watchdog, that's the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, has imposed a hefty fine of about 475 million rand on Marcus Uoster. Remember, the disgraced former CEO of Steinhoff. It's a significant development, this fine, because it comes as a result of Uoster and Derek Schreiber, who's Steinhoff's former European finance chief. It comes at a time when their involvement in publishing those misleading financial statements, which led to those substantial losses for investors, including pension funds, is really possibly going to get to a point where there is a prosecution of sorts. I mean, I hope that we're going to see Marcus Uoster in orange overalls at some point. But this is the beginning. This is a fine now of 475 million rand. By the Financial Sector Conduct Authority. Are you happy with people who are, well, maybe not found guilty because the process is still underway with the NPA, but where there's overwhelming evidence that people have transgressed in the absence of them being in jail? Does that give you hope when you are hitting them in their pockets? I mean, in the case of Marcus, there was a time when the South African Reserve Bank, yeah, that seized assets belonging to him. They attached more than 1 billion rand in assets, which included property. There were houses, there were investments, art, cars, loans, you name it, that were tied to Marcus Uoster. I mean, this is a man who is accused of being behind the biggest corporate fraud scandal in the South African business landscape, in fact, in the South African business history. I mean, the way he's carried out, the way this fraud was carried out, this misrepresentation was carried out was so elaborate. 200 billion rand was lost. That's how much it cost investors. Pension holders, there were huge losses for them too in the value of pensions that are held in the government employees' pension fund. So, do you think this is a significant development when he is fined over 400 million rand? Because I'm two parts about it. On the one hand, I think, great, hit them where it matters the most, their pockets. But on the other hand, I think these people have made so much money that, because they're not stupid, they're smart. They knew that there's a possibility that they could be found out. They could be found out to be a fraud or that there is corruption they were possibly involved in. So what you do is you want to amass as much as possible so that when the proverbial ish hits the fan, you know that you're good to take care of yourself or your family is going to be taken care of. So when I see a 400 million rand fine, I think that's probably nothing for Marcus Yosta. When I see Edwin Sodi's vehicles being attached or houses being seized, I'm like, that's nothing for someone like Edwin Sodi, because these are people who have made sure during the time when they were getting these contracts, in the case of Edwin Sodi, from government, hey, they sorted themselves out. So as much as I'm like, it hits them in the pockets, I also know that that's probably just 5% of what they are valued at. What I would like to see is for them to get to court. It mustn't end there. They must be in orange overalls, because that's the message that you're going to send. How do you feel about that? These fines, the property being seized, their cars being attached. Do you think it makes a big difference? You know what? In fact, I did an interview, just to illustrate my point. I did an interview this week with Christo Vessa. Now, Christo Vessa at some point was the chairperson of Steinhoff for a number of board meetings. And he lost so much money. And I want you to hear from him how much money he's lost. And at the time, I remember people were asking, oh my God, how is it that Marcus Yosta was able to scam even the most respected business people like Christo Vessa? This is the founder of ShopRite. How did Marcus Yosta do it? But then again, I mean, this is someone who scammed. I mean, the auditors didn't see this. So how was Christo Vessa supposed to see it? So I want to play you this clip from an interview that I did with Christo Vessa. I did it this week from his office in Cape Town. This is part of a show that I'm recording about 30 years of democracy. And we're talking to people that have impacted this country in our democracy, like 30 winds of change. And one of the interviews that we're doing, and I'll tell you more about it in the later stage where you can watch it. But here's what what Christo Vessa told me as I asked him about Steinhoff and how much he has lost.
Since the Steinhoff scandal, how have you been? I mean, that was quite a big one, not only for ordinary South Africans, for pensioners, but for you as well, as someone who was the chairman of Steinhoff.
Yeah, I always want to point out, you know, that people keep hanging the tag of chairman.
Mm.
I was chairman for exactly 4 board meetings before the company imploded.
Mm.
A 22-year-old company, but people always want to bring this chairmanship into it. And the fact is, I was chairman for the last 4 board meetings. Yeah, I've dealt with, you know, how it affected me in many interviews,
mm-hmm.
how I dealt with it. It was a huge shock, obviously, because people forget that Steinhoff was a company that at one stage had a market capitalization of well over 200 billion rand.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a massive group. And yeah, so nobody expected it to blow up the way it did.
Mm-hmm.
But it now has become clear that people had been defrauding the company for more than a decade and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody ever picked it up.
What was the cost to you?
About 60 billion rand.
60 billion rand?
Yeah.
Is that when you lost your billionaire status as well, because of that?
I don't think I ever really lost it, the way I make my figures. But certainly a lot of billions went away.
But 60 billion rand is a lot of money. 60
billion rand is a lot of money.
I mean, who loses 60 billion rand and they're still alive? I mean, I'm probably going to die just from stress. 60 billion rand. Like, are you kidding me? So that's part of the clip of an interview I did with Christo Visser, part of the show that I'm recording, 30 Winds of Change. And I'm playing that clip because I'm trying to illustrate to you that sometimes we think this 60 billion rand is a lot of money, or 470 million rand that Marcus Yuste has been fined is like going to kill him. But actually, life goes on. Like, Christo Visser lost 60 billion rand, guys. And life goes on. Like, he is still a billionaire. So I'm saying, as excited as we should be when fines against Abu Edwin Sodi, let's also remember that that's possibly nothing when you look at how much they're valued. It's 15 minutes before 10.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
12 minutes before 10 o'clock.
Morning, Clement. Ish, now I've got a problem with people being fined for criminal activities and all that, yeah? For example, the time when there was price fixing of the bread, they got a fine, but still nothing changed. We still pay the same amount of money for bread. So if someone gets fined, where does the money go? We don't see it, or do we see it? Yeah, South Africa, ne? Good show, yeah? Cook from Devland.
Clement, good morning. Pat here from Spadeview. You know, we think 475 million is a lot of money. To us, yes, it's a lot of money. But to him, Marcus Yuste, that's peanuts. How much does he worth? You know? So that's next to nothing. Believe you me. He's not going to feel it that much. Thank you.
Your voice.
Your station.
Your open line.
Walk the talk with Clement Manyatela
on 702.
Now, proudly South Africa's flagship event, the annual Buy Local Summit and Expo, will be taking place this coming Monday. This is an event that facilitates job creation opportunities while also creating the possibilities that enable small, medium and micro enterprises to develop themselves and their products. So you're going to see on Monday this event bringing together manufacturers, their buyers that are going to be there, government policymakers, business development agencies, actually over 200 local vendors as well will be showcasing their local manufactured and sourced goods from various industries in textiles and manufacturing and construction in healthcare, you name it. We've got Eustace Mashimbe on the line now, who's the CEO of Proudly South African, to talk to us more about this event. Eustace, thank you so much for making time for us. Good morning.
Good morning to you and your listeners, Clement. Thank you for having me.
So just talk to us more about this event happening on Monday. And why is localization so important? What role do platforms like this summit and expo play in emphasizing the importance of supporting local?
So what you are going to see on Monday is a flagship hosted by Proudly South African, which is the national Buy Local campaign for the country. And we refer to it as the flagship because it's a culmination of activities that happen throughout our financial year, which starts in April and ends in March. And so throughout the year, we have a host of activities that start off with us finding those who make products, putting them on platforms that expose them to purchasing decision makers, whether you have a consumer-facing product, whether you are targeting other businesses or even the public sector. And our role as a Buy Local campaign is to ensure that those people who make purchasing decisions start thinking local first. Sometimes people buy without necessarily giving consideration to where the product comes from. And in fact, we've seen it a lot of times in the private sector, where it's not that people are not economically patriotic, but it's just ignorance. And so the role of Palace of Ken is to remove that ignorance, expose you to the realities of what is available, as well as the impact that you can make through your purchasing decisions. And this includes us finding, trade fairs, putting up markets, putting up expos. There's a whole host of things. We have portals, and all of it really culminates in what you're going to see on Monday and Tuesday, which is the Buy Local Summit and Expo, where we work with about 16 different partners, predominantly from the private sector. Like the GTIC, the Department of Small Business Development, and GCIS, where the intention is really to cast a spotlight on everything that is made local for the expo, but to have policy conversations in the conference to ensure that by the time people leave, we have sort of found ways to make a difference to those who want to buy local who are struggling to do so.
What difference does an expo like this, a summit like this, make for particularly your small, medium, and micro enterprises and their products?
So Part of South African has a database that contains both big businesses and small businesses, but I can tell you the biggest beneficiaries of this Buy Local Expo are smaller businesses, irrespective of where you sit in the country. And that's why I emphasize on the word national when I started. But as much as it's hosted here, what we do is we get buyers from across the country. We have even added two new elements to the expo to make sure that it's really impactful for those guys. We have a matchmaking program. Buyers are contacted months ahead of time. They tell us what their needs are, which product they want to substitute on their retail shelves, which suppliers they're looking for as corporate buyers to include in their databases so that they can then buy from these companies. And so the expo then gives them an opportunity to come in and physically see the products, interact with the entrepreneur, and buy from people. People buy from people, Clement, and that's what this expo has taught us over the last 11 editions. This is the 12th one, and matchmaking started last year. It's much bigger. The team was telling me yesterday we have more than 300 meetings now already set up between buyers of retail, buyers in the corporate world, and some of the exhibitors who are exhibiting. And this program will even continue beyond the expo. We have a pitching program that we introduced where we put most of the exhibitors in a workshop 2 days ago. Experts put them in a room, taught them how to pitch, because sometimes a buyer really hears you for the first minute, and after that, they don't necessarily hear everything that you're saying. And so we even capacitating themselves that they make the most of this expo. And the success is really for them to end up with purchase orders and listed on whatever companies they want to do business with.
All right. How can people attend this Buy Local Summit and Expo?
The Buy Local Summit has a website, buylocalsummit.co.za. You go into that site on the landing page or on the home page. There is a tab for you to register as a delegate, but there's also an option for you to register as a buyer so that we put you in the program and we help set up appointments for you, because when you register as a buyer, you tell us which products you're looking for.
Amazing.
I mean, SMMEs come to the show to find other SMMEs to buy from. And those are some of the success stories that we must really tell about this event. Even on our website, proudlysa.co.za, we do have a link that helps you register.
Okay.
It's free to attend. There's no cost. On all our social media pages, we do have links on all our bios that can help you register so that you attend for free and you take in not just the conversations and the ideas and support that is given through the conference, but to really find and see what is locally made.
Got
in
it.
The expo.
Wonderful. Eustace Mashimbia, CEO of Proudly South African, thanks for making time for us. Go to that website, www.buylocalsummit.co.za, to register.
This Human Rights Day, you have the right to walk the talk on 702.
Hi, good morning, Clement and the team. I appreciate the right to vote, the right to know that I can be able to cast my vote and vote this current government out of power. And I appreciate that right. Thank you so much. Bye.